Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride. With your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Sons of Technology. We have a fantastic day planned for you. Today, we are talking about the hidden gems in EdTech. These are the applications that you may not know exist. So we're not talking about the big boys. We're not talking about Flipgrid. We're not talking about Nearpod or Pear Deck. We're not talking about Kami. We're not talking about quizzes. We're not talking about Kahoot. These are things you know. If you don't know, come talk to us. We'll talk about them whenever you want. These are the hidden gems that are found in the corners of EdTech that people are using that are seeing a benefit from. And we want to unearth these gems, polish them up for you, and then hand them to you like a jeweler because they are so beautiful and shiny. But before we start talking about these hidden gems, why don't we introduce ourselves? I am Joe Marquez. I am the Director of Academic Innovation for Q. I'm a former educator, 10 years in eighth grade science, and I just absolutely love to be part of your learning community. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Hello once again, everybody. Well, if you've been a listener before, if not, first timer. So welcome to the clubhouse here. I am Kyle Anderson. I am a special education teacher in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can find me on Twitter at AndersonEdTech. Same thing with Instagram. And then I have a blog, AndersonEdTech.net, that you can check out. And I also wrote a book called To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking that you can find on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. So a lot of ways you can connect with me, and I like connecting with people and sharing the little tidbits out there like we do on this show every other week, Joe.
Absolutely. And we love to share, we love to communicate, and we love to hear from you. So if you are out there and you listen to the episode, give us a shout out at sonsoftech.edu or just go off and say, you know, things that you heard on our podcast, and then hashtag EdTechArmy, because it takes an army to make a difference. And that's what we call ourselves. And before we get started, Kyle, last week or last 2 weeks ago, we did our 50th episode, and Spotify just came out with a brand new thing that it tells you your story of the year. And so we received, Sons of Technology received a story of their growth over the year. And you want to hear a little bit from that story? So Sons of Technology has now officially been listened to in over 10 countries this year, which is phenomenal. That means we are reaching beyond just the United States, beyond Canada. We're reaching people across the great globe. And so we appreciate you listening. Sons of Technology has grown over 175% in the United States in listenership. And do you know our greatest growth, greatest country of growth this past year, Kyle?
I guess Canada.
Yes. Our greatest growth, over 275% listenership in Canada. So we do appreciate our Canadian brethren and sisterin listening to us. We absolutely love you. And we absolutely love what you're doing in your great country as well. And so I just wanted to share those accolades because, we just talk and we just share every single week. And it's a way that Kyle, you and I get to connect and chat with one another from a distance. But we have people that listen, and we appreciate those of you who are listening, and we consider you family and friends. And we just want to say thank you once again for being here with us for 51 plus episodes. And we just appreciate that. And we look forward to many, many more.
Yeah. What a lot of people don't know is that because of our busy lives, we actually don't get to talk that often. So this is a great excuse every 2 weeks where we're like, we have to talk at that point. And what they also don't know is that we talked for almost 45 minutes on a Zoom call before we even hit the record button. So that's always fun too. So, but getting back to business though, because I'm sure we've lost a few at this point of just listening to these two idiots banter at this point, but, like you mentioned earlier, we've got a great episode today regarding some of those hidden gems that are out there. And I'm just going to dive into one of my favorites just to kind of kick this thing off is how many people out there know about photo editing that you can do in slides and drawings, Joe?
You know, I don't think a lot of people do know about that.
Yeah. So basically you're not, I'm not talking about like a Photoshop where you can do all sorts of things and touch up pictures and whatnot. But if you insert a picture in a Google slide or a Google drawing, but there's a lot of extra that you don't want to see that's in there, you actually have the ability in drawings and slides to be able to crop things out. So in drawings and slides, what you do is when you put that picture in there, you double click on it, and then it gives you these little black bars along the side of the picture to where you can start moving things around and crop parts of the picture out that you don't want to make it smaller. But what something that I do quite often with that tool is not necessarily crop out the picture itself, but you can actually use that cropping tool when by double clicking on it and then go into your shapes tool in the top bar in drawings and slides, and you can make your picture a shape. So for the Beer EDU podcast, whenever we're putting together the promotional image that we push out for every episode, you'll always see that the image is a circle. And that's how I do that, is I insert the image, which is normally a square or a rectangle, and then I use that cropping tool to crop it out into that circle. But you could do it in any one of the shapes that's there, an oval shape or a triangle or a rectangle, or you could start getting into crazy ones like the arrows and the speech bubbles and whatnot, you can turn into pictures. So I thought that was a really great one to kind of kick off our hidden gems here.
No, I love that. You know, the changing a picture into a shape, that's called masking, and you can absolutely do that. And I know one of our Sons of Tech members, Corey Coble, was talking about how, hey, don't forget to tell people about masking. And so that was an amazing addition there. And if anybody is wondering, if you're looking for an actual more in-depth video or image editing tool, online, you can definitely go to pixlr.com/x, and you can do a lot of great editing to the photos there and just bring them into Google Slides also.
Well, and you also have Remove BG that you can use to take the background out of images. So if you have a picture of a person, you can go to remove.bg, that's the website, upload that picture in there, and it will pull everything out of the background of that picture and leave just the person behind. And then you can go and insert that into Google Drawings or Google Slides, and then you can turn it into a shape if you'd like to. So a couple great tools that we just kind of snowballed that into.
And you know what, I did something with Pixlr with Remove BG. That's a little embarrassing. I had a in-office photo shoot by myself. So I used my ring lights and my camera, and I dressed up and I did little, you know, pictures and this and that. And I took all those into Remove BG just with my myself to add those into Google Slides or to Google Images or Google Drawing. And the reason is this: before, Kyle, the big thing to do for educators when they're putting together a slide deck is Bitmoji. Right. And I'll tell you the truth. The reason that I use Bitmoji for so much is because I did not like the way that I looked. But now that I'm feeling more confident and self-confident in myself, I'm putting myself into the slides. And so I wanted to make my own Bitmojis of me in real life. So that's what I did. I did a little photo shoot, a little embarrassing. It's a little embarrassing, but I did a little photo shoot with the green screen in the background with leather jackets and 80s jackets. And I did all that so I can bring them in with that exact Remove BG right into Google Slides.
I'm not going to lie. I'm losing it over here. I had to mute myself because I'm laughing so hard. But no, good on you for that. But I'm not going to lie. If you've seen my little brand, my Anderson EdTech brand, it's the Bitmoji of me, like kind of like leaning back, giving the two thumbs up with this really big grin on my face. I've jokingly said, I think it just has to happen that I need to go out and get a blue button-up shirt like that and a pair of gray slacks and then like pose myself like my Bitmoji and do the thumbs up and then have somebody take the picture of it and then get stickers made of it. I think I need to make that happen at some point.
You absolutely need to make that happen because I did the exact same thing. I have my EdTech MacGyver picture, a sticker with my Bitmoji in the middle with everything. And I redid that with me doing the same thing as my Bitmoji. So you absolutely have to do that.
Although my wife will wonder what I'll do with my eyebrows, because she insists that my eyebrows are like highlighter yellow on my Bitmoji. I think she's incorrect, but you know,
I'm sure there's a Snapchat filter for that.
I'm sure there is. So, so all right. So enough about these different photo tools and whatnot here, though. Although that was a fun little tangent right there. So, what do you got for one of your hidden gems, Joe?
So, one of my favorites right now is something called whiteboard.fi, and that's where you would go, whiteboard.fi. And the reason I love this is because it reminds me of when I was in my physical classroom, asking students to do Lewis dot diagrams of elements in my classroom. If you don't know what a Lewis dot diagram is, it's you draw the element block, and then around the block, you put how many electrons are in the outer shell by placing dots around the block. And so I would have the kids draw the block and draw the element, and they would have to put the dots around. They'd lift them up, and I'd go around physically going, yep, 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 nope, nope, yep, yep, nope. And I would tell them if they got it right or got it wrong, but they could not put it down until I gave them a yep or a nope. This is what whiteboard.fi allows you to do. It allows you to ask a question. It gives everybody a whiteboard, and you can see all the drawing happening in real time. Now, people will be saying this, you can do that in Pear Deck. You can do that in Nearpod. Yes, you can. But the great thing about whiteboard.fi is you don't sign into it. You don't have to create an account. The students don't either. All you do is go to whiteboard.fi, say create room, label the room your name, and then give the kids the link. They log in and boom, you're done. Absolutely done. There's no setup. There's no mess. There's no fuss. You're in. You can even put a background on that whiteboard and shoot the background out to all the students so they have to fill things in. So if you have the block already made, you can add that as the image as the background and shoot it out to the kids. And then you can create multiple whiteboards to shoot them out all the way down. And because you don't have to create an account, because you don't have to set anything up, it's a super simple, fun tool. So that's one of my favorites now, right now, is that whiteboard.fi. So if you're an English teacher and you want to see if students can underline a verb or circle an adjective, you bring in the paragraph, you can watch them do it. If you're doing math, you can see them do the problem. If you're doing science, you can see them model things for you. Fantastic tool. And I only use the free version. So a fantastic tool. It's free and it's great to instantly use, and a very little learning curve.
That's awesome. So I'm going to have to toy around with that one a little bit more. I mean, I've heard you mention it before, but I've never toyed around with that one. So I'll definitely have to check that one out a little bit. So now my next one is something that is near and dear to a lot of people, not necessarily me, and that's emojis. I'm not one that uses a lot of emojis. I think the extent of my emoji use is I'll throw a thumbs up into a text message every now and then, something like that. I don't go deep into the emojis. So whenever I see people typing in emojis, I'm like, wow, you are more committed than I will ever be when it comes to that. However, I do also realize that my students are really into emojis, and so are a lot of my colleagues. So there is a great Chrome extension called Emoji Keyboard from JoyPixels that I have installed. And it's something that you can use on a web page when you're typing into boxes on a web page where you can use emojis in there. So I actually use this on Google Meet. So when I'm talking to kids on Google Meet, I will throw in emojis every now and then in the conversations there. And so once you install it, you just right click in the box where you're going to type, and there'll be a little option there that says emoji, and then you'll be able to search for an emoji. So now the ones that I use are usually right up at the top to where I just got to click on them, and then I can send the message and then it's done. But another one that's really cool on there is not only do you have the emojis, and then you have the, I guess, how do you say, like when you just use like a colon and a letter D to make a smiley face, it's not actually an emoji. You could do some of those as well. But one of my favorites that's on there is the symbols one that's in the emoji keyboard. So this is great because I co-teach math, and there's not a real great way to type math sometimes, especially in Google Meet. You can install things like Equatio for Google Docs, and there's different things out there that are very robust for that. But if you just want something quick, this emoji keyboard has symbols that you can use in like Google Meet, where you can put like multiplication, division, and different math symbols in there, or sometimes, maybe not necessarily with your students, but you need to type in that little registered trademark R. That's in the emoji keyboard. There's the symbols for Celsius and Fahrenheit with the little round circle next to the C and the F. You can type that in there. So there's all sorts of really cool little symbols that you may not necessarily ever think you're going to use, but then all of a sudden when you do, like, wait a second, how do I type that in? That's all part of the emoji keyboard. So definitely an extension I highly recommend checking out and adding to your Chrome profile.
Yeah, you know, and kids talk in emojis all the time. So being able to speak in that language to them in a Google Meet is a really good way to connect with the students. So I really do love that tool. That is a really good hidden gem. You know, for me, one of the big things that I have been pushing is reading comprehension. I have found that it's, you know, even in a face-to-face class, if a student doesn't understand an article you've handed out to them, if they don't understand a website you've sent them to, it's very hard to identify that before you begin asking questions. It's very difficult to do that. And so these next two hidden gems kind of go hand in hand with how to get in the mind of your students while they are reading, not after the reading is supposed to be over. Because again, if a student doesn't understand a paragraph, they start to shut down. It's a roadblock. They don't want to finish the rest of the article. It's just a difficult time for them. So the first one, and here's the funny thing about these next two, they are both in the same building that Flipgrid is in. So in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that's where Flipgrid is located. These two tools, their offices, at least when they first started, I don't know if they've moved. When they first started, they were both in the same building as Flipgrid. So the first one you absolutely have to know about is Edgy. So it's EDJI.IT. And the way I tell people to remember that is if you mix the words around, it spells Jedi. Okay, so edgy.it. And what you do here is you go to any website and grab the text. Now, you can just, you know, highlight and hit copy, control C to copy, or I love to use the extension called Mercury Reader, which only brings up the text of the article, and then you can copy all that text also. That's the way I like to do it. But regardless, you grab the text from the article, you go into Edgy and you make a new Edgy. You just create new reading and you paste it in. So all the text is there. And then if at that point you're done, you're done. But you can also now embed questions after paragraphs. If you want to ask some reading comprehension questions, you can do that as well. But you just shoot it out to the students. You give the students a link or you can push it out to Google Classroom. It has Google Classroom push out built right in. And the students go in and annotate the article in real time. And you can see every annotation the students are adding. So you can see if parts of the article that they're annotating are actually resonating with them. You can see if they're not annotating anything. You can actually see what's going on in their mind. And they can type in their thoughts. They can vocalize their thoughts with a microphone. Or for our younger readers, they can use emojis, just like you were talking about. And so for like our second, third, or fourth graders who are still learning how to type, if they don't know what that paragraph meant, they can put a sad face emoji. If they knew what that paragraph meant, they can use a thumbs up emoji. But it allows the teacher to see the insights of all the students in real time. And then the teacher can click a button called Vision. And when they click the button called Vision, all the students now can see everybody's annotations. So now the students can go through and read other students' responses and feel confident that their thoughts were aligned with their fellow students, or they can realize, oh, I had this entire thing wrong. I now know what is meant because I'm reading my fellow students' comments. So Edgy, to me, is one of the most powerful tools out there, but it just hasn't caught on. For some reason, it's just a great tool. And if you're not using it in your math class, in your science class, in your history class, in your social science class, you're really missing out. Fantastic, fantastic tool.
So as you were explaining this, I went to edgy.it and started just looking around the website. And for the layman, this is how I interpret this. You wanted students to read an article, so you thought, I'll push out a Google Doc. Well, if you add every student on the Google Doc with editing, then all of a sudden, like, it's an absolute mess. Or you can go through Google Classroom, give every student a copy of it. Well, now you had to have to open up, say, 30 different copies of that to see where the students are annotating and adding things or whatever. So Edgy basically takes that out of the equation, puts it all in one document. So it's basically like a live Google Doc of sorts or whatever, but you don't have all the mess going on unless you wanted to have the mess going on by turning on that vision. So
correct. Yep.
That's, yeah, this looks like a really great tool. And I am ashamed to say I'd never heard of this one beforehand. And now I really need to toy with this one.
Well, that's what the Hidden Gems episode is all about, right? It's about showcasing these things that a lot of us see as these shiny, amazing things, but we just have to polish it off so people can see these hidden gems.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did talk a little bit ahead of time about which ones we were going to be sharing, and because we wanted to make sure we weren't doubling up. So Joe and I are learning from each other right now. It's not just us sharing mm-hmm. with you out there. So good
one. I did tell you there was two of them. So the next one is this. The next one is insert learning. So insert learning is a Google Chrome extension and a website.
Sorry, I didn't understand, but I found something else.
Sorry, I said Google.
Do you want to know how to find your Chrome extensions?
No. So the thing about this one is you go and you insert the extension, and then you create an account at insertlearning.com. Then you go into any website, any article, and click the extension, and now you have a toolbar that pops up. And you can ask a question right off the website of any paragraph. You can insert a YouTube video that goes along with that reading. You can insert instantly a video of you explaining what they should have known after that paragraph. You can insert multiple choice questions. You can insert free response questions, and you can insert a comment section where kids can finally leave their thoughts and comment on each other, all off of the website itself. And then all you do is hit send to students. It creates a link, and now the students can do this assignment as well. The only caveat is the students do also need to have the Insert Learning extension installed on their machine. But if you don't want to take the text off of the website and put it into an Edgy, this is another great option as well. That's Insert Learning.
And just looking at this one, because again, I pulled this one up as you were talking, this one reminds me of Edpuzzle, except for web pages and not just videos. So
no, that's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about Edpuzzle today because that we consider to be one of the big dogs out there. But if you are familiar with Edpuzzle, Insert Learning is very much like that, except for websites and text instead of videos. This is another good one that I need to look at further.
I love that explanation. Edpuzzle for text. That's what Insert Learning is. That makes it, that clears it for me too. That's perfect.
So awesome. Well, I have a Chrome extension that I want to share, and I've probably mentioned this one on the show before, but I still feel like this one is underappreciated and just not as well known, because I use obviously a lot of Google Docs, a lot of Google Slides, and I will push those out to people where it automatically gives them a copy, to where I don't have to worry about getting the request access or any edits on their end by turning it over to somebody. And I always get that question, how did you do that? So, well, you can tell somebody about how you just go to the end of the URL of it and you delete everything after the word edit and then replace it with the word copy and then copy that. And it gets really complicated. This is where the Sir Links a Lot Chrome extension comes in. So this is an extension where on a Google Doc, on Slides, on really any Google tool, you can go in and have that happen for that document when you share the link out, to where if you want to give somebody a copy of the document, but you don't have to worry about that, you know, request access, whatever, you could do the force copy, to where when they click on the link, a white screen is going to come up and say, do you want to make a copy? And the only way they can see it is by clicking make copy. To where it's not, and it's now their document. They're not touching your document at all. But there are some other really great ones here as well. So not only does the Sir Links a Lot extension have the force copy, there is a preview one where somebody can go in and look, like when you double click on a PDF in Google Drive and it just pulls up that preview of it, you could do that for anything, whether it's Slides or Sheets or Docs, you can push out a preview to somebody. You can push out a template, which to me is actually even better than the forced copy. And the reason why is because it gives people a copy of the document you're sending out. But unlike with the forced copy, they can actually see it ahead of time to see if they want to actually use the template. So sometimes you're not sure you want to just add something else to your drive by clicking on that forced copy. Using that forced template gives them the option to go through and look at the document ahead of time and then say, you know what, I do want this, then click on use template. Or because you can download pretty much any Google program into a PDF, you can actually force a PDF that can be sent out as well. And then there's the options of right from the extension, you can copy the link to the clipboard. So you can put it in an email, put it out on Twitter, do whatever you do. You can do a shortened version of it. You copy a shortened link to the clipboard. You can even open the link in a new tab to preview it ahead of time to make sure it actually is coming out the way you want it to. So the Sir Links-A-Lot extension is, that's an absolute game-changing one if you are sharing a lot of documents.
And the icon is hilarious, right? It makes you want to go, I like quick links and I cannot lie. Yeah. You teachers can't deny, right?
Yeah, it has like an image of, like it's like a yellow face with like that top hat, like Sir Links or Sir Mix-a-Lot wore back in the 90s. Yeah,
that's it. It's great. Yeah. I love that's I wish we had the name of the person that made it. I'm sure we can find it, but that's a great.
Oh,
great,
I have it right here. It's Kurt Schleilebaum, if I pronounce that correctly. So, and then I believe in here, if you go to his website, you can actually do a little donation if you'd like to help him out a little bit. So geekyedtech.com is where it actually takes you. And he actually has quite a few apps and extensions and different things that are out there as well. So
Kurt.
Check out his website. And then it looks like he's got some different STEM stuff on here, his class pages. So it looks like there's all sorts of fun stuff on his website, all from creating that Sir Links-A-Lot extension.
Well, that's great. And you know what, Kurt, if you're listening, we would love some Sir Links-A-Lot stickers. Send them our way. We'll do a sticker swap with you with some Sons of Tech stickers as well. So I love that one. It's super fun. This next one, I just recently found, our buddy Brent Warner found this. He was doing a conference and the conference was using this. And I thought to myself, it's great for a conference, but it's also great for just community building within the classroom, especially if you have a smaller class. And the reason I say especially if you have a smaller class is because the free version of this only allows 20 people in at a time for the free version. And this one is called Nooks.in, Nooks.in. And what Nooks does, it allows you to create a community room. It lets you create, a classroom set or a conference set or a happy hour set or a poker tournament. They have a built-in poker game if you wanted to do poker games, personal little meetings. It's a really great, neat little tool. And, I'm thinking like at a conference, this would be great for the hallway sessions, right? Some of the best conversations at a conference happen in the hallway. And so you can actually create hallway rooms. You can create a water cooler. You know, back in the day before, you know, when you had to watch TV in real time, people would talk about that TV show at the water cooler the next day. But here's the great thing about it. When you create a room, you can jump in the room and you can actually have video and audio in the room, not just a chat room. And so it creates almost like it's an instant Zoom room. And it allows you to actually embed a Google Doc to work on a Google Doc in real time, a whiteboard to work on a whiteboard in real time. You can do a poker game in there in real time. If you like playing poker, it's pretty fun. So there's a lot of cool things that you can do in here and I'm just touching the surface of what this thing can do. So it's pretty neat. So if you're looking for a different way to connect with your students, to create an event, to create an experience, take a look at Nooks.in. And I'm sure you'll come up with some amazing ways to use it. I've just been playing with it for the past 2 days. And I really thought I had to share this on Hidden Gems because I think it's going to be one of my new favorite tools. The only limitation, again, is the 20 person maximum. at the moment. But I'm sure there's a way that, you can up it by paying a few dollars, but there's no like pricing on it. You have to like contact them to go above that. But it's, it looks like a pretty neat little tool.
Sounds like this one maybe was born directly out of the COVID-19 quarantine, because back in the beginning of it, when everybody was doing their little Zoom happy hours and whatnot, I don't know how long that Nooks has been around, but that sounds a lot like what this was, that it was born out of something like that.
Yeah, it looks that way. It looks pretty neat too. I mean, and it looks like it's fun. I mean, like Kyle, we could have like a Sons of Technology little poker tournament, have 20 people show up and have that game, right? It'd be super fun. And you can even have tables. So, you know, you can have 20 people in and then four different tables, five people at each table, and then play the game and then have like an ultimate table at the end. Because you can have a main stage where everybody's watching the main stage, but then they're in their own little tables. So they can have conversations, but not bother the main stage. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do in this that looks pretty neat. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned it. So take a look, nooks.in. Could be a hidden gem for you and your students.
Yeah, for sure. And now I haven't played poker in a while, so we might have to look into doing that. So
we might have to.
All right. So, oh, another extension that I have been using for years, but I feel like a lot of people don't know much about this one, is one called Extensity. And basically what this is a Chrome extension manager, where Google Chrome has a manager built into itself, but there's a lot of clicking and typing in order to get to that, where you have to go to the three dots menu, then you got to go to settings. And then once settings comes up, then you got to go and find the extensions on the left sidebar, click on that, blah, blah, blah. Or you can go to Chrome:// extensions in the Chrome web browser, and then you can access them that way. But that's a lot more typing and clicking than I really want to do. Extensity is one where it basically houses all of your Chrome extensions, and you can turn them on and off whenever you need them or don't need them. So I have probably no less than 60 Chrome extensions installed on my profile. But if I was to turn every single one of those things on at one time, my browser is going to be nothing. It's not going to move, because it's just all the work that's going to be happening based on what those extensions have to take up. So when I open this up, when I open up Extensity and look, out of my like 60 extensions, I maybe have like 15 to 20 of them turned on. And it's because these are ones I use on a regular basis. So like Grammarly, I always have that one turned on. I always have my Pear Deck Power Up turned on. I always have Pin Tab and my Reopen Tab extensions open, because I always will close out a tab I don't want to and have to reopen it, or I want to pin a tab so I don't do that kind of thing. And then my AdBlock Plus is always open. But do I always need Cite This For Me, where I need to cite things in MLA or APA format? No, I don't need that one all the time. I don't need the EasyBib toolbar all the time. I don't need the Google Dictionary on there all the time. In fact, I frankly forget about that one half the time. And just if I need a definition for a word, I just go Google it real quick. So Nimbus Screenshot, I don't have that one turned on all the time. So it's just a really nice way to be able to manage your extensions and keep your browser functioning the way it should, but still keeping all of your extensions that you need right at your fingertips. It's literally two clicks. You click on Extensity, you scroll down and you find your extension, turn it on or off, and then boom, you're done.
No, I love that. Have you, the new, you know, the little puzzle piece now in the far right corner of the Chrome browser, do you find that you have to, when you turn something on in Extensity, you also have to go in and make sure you pin it using the puzzle piece?
I do, and that's irritating to me.
Yeah.
It used to be where you could just resize the Omni box however you wanted to. But yeah, now that puzzle piece makes it to where the Omni box is enormous unless you go in and pin your extensions there. And then, like you said, there's extensions that you may want to use and you know you've got them turned on, but why aren't they there? You got to go click on that puzzle piece and then pin the thing. So yeah, that is a Chrome update that happened probably about 2-3 months ago now. Yeah. And I still don't like it. I'm not used to it yet. I don't like it. And I probably won't learn to like it. So if there's anybody from Google in the developer side listening to this, if you could at least give people the option to either use the puzzle piece or resizing the Omnibox yourself, that would be very nice, because I'm sorry, this is garbage.
It's just, you know, for the people who don't have Extensity, or one of my favorites is just called Extension Manager. For people who don't have those, the puzzle piece may be something they like. But for us, we've been using these tools to toggle extensions on and off for a while now. So having to now do another step of toggling it on, then click on the puzzle piece and then pin it, that's just an extra step that we don't need. So we understand that Google did it for the vast majority of people who don't have an Extensify or an extension manager. But for those of us who do, it's just an extra step we don't like.
Well, and even with that puzzle piece, you still, when you click on it, if you want to turn off that extension, you still got to go to the manage extensions and do it from there with the little three dots that's next to the extensions that is in there. So I don't know. Having that extension manager like Extensity, that to me is the way to go.
Yep.
With that one.
I agree. Very good. I love that one. You know, this next one, I mentioned it. You're like, oh, I remember using that back in the day. It's because I used it back in the day. And this is before Padlet. And I used to always get the two messed up. And I'm not mentioning Padlet because I consider Padlet to be up there with the big boys. Also, this one is called Poplet, right? And so you can see why the two kind of meshed together. And they started kind of at the same time. But Poplet is just a very easy to use collaborative mind map creator. And so in Poplet, you create an account, you create a board, and the board is an infinite board. So anybody who's used Prezi back in the day, you know what an infinite board looks like. It's an infinite board, an infinite canvas, and you every person has their own color. And so they can put ideas on the board, they can type their idea, and they can connect ideas with strands. And so you can connect the one person's idea to this. And then if the idea fits in two places, you can bring the string again. It's just a very great, organic, flexible mind map creator. And I used to have my science department utilize this at the very beginning, because we would all have these ideas and they would want to write them on butcher paper, a giant white piece of butcher paper that they would roll up and put in a cabinet. And every time we'd do a meeting, they'd pull it out and roll it out over these desks and add. I'm like, people, there's a reason we have computers. Let's use them. And it took a long time to start using it. And in fact, there was a PD where there was another person that I won't name because I don't care for this person very much still. But there's other person actually yelled at me saying, we are not using technology during this session. Get your markers out and write on that white piece of paper. And I said, this is ridiculous. We all have computers. This is a tool that will work for us. And I got yelled at, and I basically told this person, no, I'm not listening to you. My modality works for me, not you. So that was a little bit of a contention. So every time we had PD with this person, there was a little animosity. And the funny thing is she ended up moving next to my mother-in-law. So it's hilarious because I get to see this person quite a bit. But you know what? This was back in 2011. 2011 is when Poplet was out. There hasn't been much updates to it since. So it's very simple. But if you're looking for a collaborative mind map, something that can last, something that can be infinite and keep adding on to, Poplet is a great option. That's poplet.com.
I remember using Poplet occasionally back in the day. It was one of those periods of my life where I was really into tech and I was going to a lot of conferences, and it was a lot of conferences. Now they definitely do deep dives on concepts now. Whereas before, like, you'd go to those sessions and it was like 100 tech tools in 60 minutes kind of deal. And it was Poplet was one of those ones that came up there. And I remember Prezi was one of those too. And I haven't used Prezi in a long time. I'm not sure if it's still the same, but there used to be a running joke with me and my colleagues. You know, what's the difference between a bad Prezi and a bad PowerPoint?
What's that?
A bad PowerPoint won't give you a stomach ache. because you'd have like that slow motion spinning and then like the moving around on the presentation in Prezi. And it literally, like, if you stared at it, it would give you a stomach ache. So that was the joke. So, I mean, I'm not disparaging Prezi or people that use Prezi. It was just a joke that we had back in the day. I have not used Prezi in a long time, so I can't say anything good or bad about it, but I just remember my students really loved it. And if they used a lot of the animations, it could be kind of hard on the eyes and the stomach. So,
well, you know, I did talk to the Prezi developers recently, and they have fixed it to where it lowers that the appearance of causing that sickness. So the smoothness of transitions is a little bit better. And I'm not going to go into it too much, but another hidden gem is the new Prezi video. Prezi actually, you know, the Prezi where it would flow from one thing to the next, and there'd be some background you selected. Now you can actually do it during a actual Zoom. You are the background and the Prezi's flow right in front of you to the rest of the team. And so it actually becomes a layer during a Zoom or Teams or Google call. So I've been playing around with it, and that Prezi video is a really neat product. So if you have stepped away from Prezi for many years because of queasiness, go back, because they're doing some pretty cool things.
I may have to do that then. So just another thing to add to the pile of awesomeness that we've had so far. So, well, I've got one more that I'm going to share, and this is the one that I use. If I don't use this one daily, it's because I haven't turned my computer on that day. And that is DocHub. DocHub is a PDF tool, management tool, to where Adobe is the gold standard, obviously, of PDF management tools, where you can add text boxes, turn them into forms, get signatures, so on and so forth. But the issue with Adobe, when it's as great of a product as it is, it also costs money. And Adobe can cost a lot of money when you start getting into it. So I think the last time I checked, just to get like the Adobe tool to create PDF forms and whatnot, I think it was $30 a month or something like that. And to me, that's just, I use PDFs a lot, but I don't know if I'm willing to spend that kind of money every month in order to use it. So DocHub is a great alternative that, as far as I can tell, is 100% free. And you go to DocHub.com and you can sign up for an account by either connecting your Google account to it, or you can sign up by email. And then the beauty thing about it is that once you've signed up for it, you can connect that to your Google Drive, to where you can open up PDFs using DocHub, to where they just, as soon as you click on them, it opens it up in DocHub, and then you can start annotating a PDF. You can add text boxes. You can add signatures to it. So everything, almost everything that you'd be able to do using the Adobe suite, you can do in DocHub for free. And as a special ed teacher, I use PDFs on a daily basis when it comes to filling out prior notices or meeting arrangements or the IEP itself. So everything is in PDF in my daily job. So I needed something like that to be able to really to conduct my job. So DocHub allows me to do all those things. And then every time you close it out, if you got to go right back to it, it saves everything in DocHub. You can download it to where it updates in Google Drive, to where you can see the changes you've made as well. You can download an actual PDF that you can put on your desktop or email out if you want to just email out an actual file versus a Google Drive link, whatever it may be. So I think last time I checked, I was in my DocHub settings the other day, and I think I have right now, just from the beginning of the school year, over 350 separate documents that I have worked on using DocHub. And I haven't paid a penny for it during any of this time. So filling out every little bit of those forms, I don't know how I would have done it without DocHub. So you definitely got to check that one out.
And I love that you're mentioning this, Kyle, because DocHub was my very first cloud-based PDF editor that I used to use. And then I gradually switched over to Kami, right? So everybody's talking about Kami. But I have to go back to .com because I will say it is my first love of PDFs, and knowing that they've maintained a high quality and they've maintained a lot of the free features, I really have to go back to it because that was really one of my favorite tools when I first started. But I have to say that I was enamored by the Cami teams when I went to the conferences. They were just there. I never saw .com there, and it just seemed like they were up and coming. So I jumped over there, but I really should go back to .com. Now, can you turn the PDF into an image? Can you save it as like a JPEG or a PNG in .com?
I've never tried to do that. So I would have to do some digging on it. So I'm sure you can. When it comes to something like that though, sometimes if I just need something quick like that, if you just Google something like that, like PDF to PNG or something, there's a whole series of websites out there that are like PDF to PNG, like the number two .com or something like that, where you can upload something and then download it real quick. And then with the .com, you also can create your signature in there. So whenever I have something that I need to sign, rather than printing the copy, signing it, and then scanning it and uploading it in, I just open it up in .com. I have my signature and it's not like that one where you type your name in and then it creates a signature for you. It is, you can either, if you've got a touch screen, you can create your signature right in .com by signing with your finger, or they can send you a link to your phone to where you can turn your phone sideways and sign in there and then save your signature and your initials. So now anytime I have to sign a document, or especially legal documents, I can just go into .com, open it, paste my signature in there, and then send it back like within minutes versus before when you had to print it out, sign it, scan it. I mean, that could take a considerable amount of time. It's not like that with .com. And then I know that there's the option in .com to where you can send the form directly from .com to others to where they can sign it. But I've never used that function because I don't have to get signatures from others real often. And I do believe there's a limit on how many you can do in a month. I think that limit's a little bit higher than some of the other ones. I used to use DocuSign for stuff like that, but you're only able to create like three a month or something like that, or three total before you had to pay. I can't remember what it was, but .com is, I haven't run into a wall yet where it's asked me for money.
Well, and that's great. And so I definitely have to go back and check .com. And speaking of those websites where you can do those little conversions, one of my favorite ones is called PDF Candy. If you go to pdfcandy.com, it has all the different things just built into their little tiny suites. You could turn it into a Word document or a PDF. So PDF Candy is a really good option to go to if you're looking to do something like that. I have two really quick ones because I know we're getting down to that time, and you said that was your last one. I have a few left. And some people may be saying, wait a minute, that's not a hidden gem. I use that one every day. But I just want to mention it if you haven't used it before. Classroom Screen. It's called classroomscreen.com. It's great for distance learning, but it's also really great for face-to-face because it allows you to have a quick whiteboard whenever you need it, a quick timer whenever you need it. If you have a class that's pretty loud, I can actually have a noise leveler that tells you if the class is getting too loud, it'll turn red. So it has a lot of cool little tools built right in. You just click and use and do. Classroomscreen.com, no sign-in needed. You can create an account if you want to, but you don't have to. So Classroom Screen is really cool to use. And the ending of the timer, you can choose different jingles. So I love to use the Super Mario Brothers. So like, you remember at the original where you land on the flag and go, so that'll be your timer and kids love it, right? So Classroom Screen, if you're not using it, that's a cool one. Another one I love is ClassHook, classhook.com. Grabs a whole bunch of videos from Vimeo and YouTube and all the different places around the internet. And it grabs portions of the video that fit content and grade level. And so let's say you're teaching science, eighth grade, electricity. It'll bring up all the videos and all the clips that have to do with electricity. They're hooks. They're not like education things. For example, I was teaching a lesson on electricity and I wanted a hook for eighth graders. So I typed in eighth grade, science, electricity, And it brought up the scene from Home Alone 2 where Marv was going to grab the sink and Kevin had hooked up a generator to it. And he grabs it and completes the circuit and is getting electrocuted and turns into a skeleton. Hilarious.
I just watched Home Alone 2 the other night and I've seen that movie no less than 100 times. And I still laugh myself almost to tears at that exact scene.
But just now listen, people say, you know what? Oh, Home Alone 2 took a giant dive from Home Alone. I love Home Alone 2. I think it's good. I think it's funny. I think they go above and beyond. I love it. And my daughter for the first time watched it and actually liked it. My four-year-old daughter watched it. She loved the booby traps. She went around getting tape and booby trapped the door. It was hilarious. She loved it. So I had quite a joy her watching those. But Classroom Hook, we'll find those for you just by typing in what your subject is and your grade level, and it brings up all those different things. So if you're trying to get your kids hooked on a topic, it's always good to bring in a pop culture reference to get them hooked. You know, thinking of all these things that we're showing, Kyle, you know, something like this could be a great session, the Sons of Technology Hidden Gem session we could do together, right? I know that the Tulare Tech Rodeo is coming up here in January. It's going to be all virtual. I put in a session already for slide tricks and hacks, but we can also do a hidden gem session if you want to. I think maybe that could be something we can definitely do.
Yeah, I think you're onto something.
Considering Sons of Technology was birthed, basically the first live episode was at a Tulare Tech Rodeo. So I think maybe we should revisit that.
Yeah. Would it be cheating if we just took this episode and like got into the Zoom session and just said like, hi, I'm Joe. Hi, I'm Kyle. And then we just played it and walked away.
It would be cheating because then, you know, cause I there was a time that I was showing teachers how to record themselves teach. And then I would say, record every period, find the best one and then archive it in Google Classroom or upload it to YouTube so kids can rewatch it if they wanted to. But what the high school teacher started doing is recording first period and just hitting play for every other period. And guess who got in trouble? I did for showing them how to do it, not the teachers for doing it. They're like, how dare you show them how to do it? I go, I didn't show them how to do that. So when you say that all those feelings come back of being told that. So
yeah,
so it's pretty funny. So at the very beginning of this episode, I talked about whiteboard.fi, right? Where all the students get their own individual whiteboard and teachers can see all the individual answers. They can share the answers of other students if they want to, like you do on Nearpod or Pear Deck. But what about if you want students to collaborate on one giant whiteboard? Yes, I know there's Jamboard that's out there, but again, I consider Jamboard a big boy. Right? Not a hidden gem. So I would say AwApp, AWWAPP, awapp.com is a great web whiteboard that you can use. No sign-in required. You just go to AwApp, create a board. You can share that board with your students and it is an infinite board. So you can actually go in and create a grid. And then in each grid, you tell your students, claim a grid. Right? Claim your space. Pretend like it's an outdoor concert. Put down your blanket. That's your space. Nobody else can claim that space. And then all the students can work in real time and see each other's work. That's a great way to collaborate in there. And you can embed it. One of the big things people ask me all the time about Jamboard is, can I embed this in Google Sites? Can I embed this in here? Can I embed this? And you can't. You can embed an AwApp and they can work on it from any place you've embedded it. So it's a great way to do like community building if you wanted to. So AwApp is a great collaborative whiteboard if you're looking for something in that fashion.
Well, now you mentioned that about embedding and whatnot, that actually brings me to one last one. I'll make this quick. So a lot of times different programs will have ways to where you can grab the iframe code for a website so you can embed it somewhere else. Now, I'm not sure if it would work on a Google Jamboard, but there is a tool out there that is an iframe generator. So I've actually used this before when working in Canvas, rather than just putting a link inside of Canvas and say in the instructions here, click on this link that's right here to go to the activity or whatever, rather than it being one more step that the kids have to do, I grab the iframe from whatever the website is, if it's available. Well, there's some websites that they just don't have that out there, but there's the website embediframegenerator.com. You can actually turn any website into generated iframe code. That way you can embed it. So all sorts of different things I've been able to embed into Canvas. Now, would that work on a Google Jamboard? I'm not sure, but it's something that might be worth looking into to see if you can actually put in the URL for a Jamboard and then get an iframe code for it, copy it, and then paste it in to be able to embed it into a website or something.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, that could be the answer for a lot of teachers of not being able to embed, or they don't have an instant embed code. Yeah, so iframegenerator.com would be a great place to go. And by the way, everybody, those of you who are listening, like you're driving or you're walking your dog or you're mowing your lawn, you're like, wait, I need to get all of these. I need to know what they are. We are going to place every link to these in our show notes. And then also when we post this on social media, we'll also post the link to all of these links as well. So don't feel like you have to stop and grab a pencil or pull over on the side of the road. If you have, we apologize. We didn't say that at the top of the hour, but we will give you all the links to all of these as well. And you know what? Because we think and believe in these tools so much, please start looking down the line towards Sons of Technology presenting a hidden gem session where we actually walk you through and show you how to use these tools as well.
I do want to make a quick correction. It's not iframegenerator.com. It's actually embediframegenerator.com. If you go to iframegenerator.com, it comes up to one of those sites like, you could buy this domain or something like that. So,
and you can be rich if you buy it. Oh, so we'll make sure we put the correct links to all of these, especially embediframegenerator.com, so you can take a look at that. And then again, all of these tools are the hidden gems that we think have either been overlooked, forgotten, or never found. And we just want you to take a look at them and tell us if you do use any of these, how did they work out? Did they meet your expectations? Did they follow underneath your expectations? Do you have a hidden gem that we missed that you would like to give a shout out? Please make sure you tag us at Sons of Tech EDU, hashtag EdTechArmy, or tag us personally on Twitter, JoeMarquez70 on Twitter, or AndersonEdTech on Twitter. Just tag us and show us and tell us that you're using these things, or what did we miss? Because we can always do a Hidden Gems Revisited or a Hidden Gems Episode 2 based upon what you share. But wow, Kyle, that was a whirlwind. I think we're blowing a lot of tops right now, just of all the things that we're showcasing.
Well, and I'm just kind of blown away right now because I just realized that we've been talking for almost an hour, and that did not feel like an hour at all. So
it did not. And plus, those of you listening, we talked a half hour before that hour. So we've been talking for quite a bit. So
we'll probably continue to talk after this too, because that's what we do.
But you know, we just love to share with you because you may have an instance that you need one of these tools. There may be an instance you're like, oh, the one of the big boys doesn't do it, or it takes too long for the big boys to get it done. We wanted to share some little tricks and workarounds and tiny tools that you can instantly click on and utilize in your class, because we know you're tired. We know that you're frustrated. We know that things may not be working the way you want. And we know that it's been a long 2020. And as the Counting Crows would say, it'll be a long December. But you know what? These are going to be times that you're going to relish looking back on them because of all the things you've discovered and how far you have come. And you may not know how proud you are of yourself yet, but we are proud of you. We know how hard you are working. Even if we don't know you personally, we know how hard you are working, and we are with you. And Kyle and I absolutely love to collaborate. I don't like to say help. We always love to collaborate. So if you need anything from us, from the team of Sons of Technology, from the EdTech Army, tweet at us, ask us. We would love to do some one-on-ones with you. We would love to do some Zooms with you. I would love to meet you because we're here for you. And it's not like we're going to ask for a credit card or anything, because our purpose here on this earth is to just increase engagement and motivation in the classroom and create the best experience for our students that we possibly can. And we know that you are doing it. And so we just want to work with you and just reiterate to you that we know how hard you're working, and to just reaffirm your mission and ours, that what we're doing matters, even though we may not see that in our moment. And I do want to tell you this. The mantra of the Sons of Technology is that we will always speak encouraging words. We will always do our best to lift you up, to move you forward, and to never leave anybody behind. And we know that you are already doing that. We know that our team in the EdTech Army is already doing it. And we know that we are already doing it. But we just need the determination to keep on doing it. So have no doubt in yourself. And I hope that lifts up your spirits during this long December.
But there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. To take that quote from the Counting Crows even further.
Well, we're going to end it there. We're going to end it there. Because you're amazing. And Kyle, thanks for getting that, because I was running that through my head. I'm like, oh, there's an extra line to that. What is that? But just thank you for all your hard work. And I know this was a long ending, but it's been a long year. And we just want to say we love you. We're with you. And we're going to keep on innovating for you for as long as we can. So, Sons of Technology, we are out. Thank you so much.